morning, no better time coming up on Valentine's than to consider relationships. We've talked about time as a stewardship and money as a stewardship, but did you know that God gives you the relationships in your life, and for you to be a steward, He entrusts you with those relationships, from children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews, to spouses and in-laws, and cousins, and all those folks in your life, even people, you co-workers, students you go to school with. I believe that God, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has put you where He wants you to be to impact and influence people for Him. Relationships are a stewardship from Christ. And yes, even those tough ones, even those difficult people in your life are a stewardship, because God cares about people. And everything, it's about love. Everything is about relationships. Everything is about what God can do through you in their lives. I just want you to think for a moment of the most difficult people in your life. As you sit here this morning, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are absolutely convinced that that particular person is as unsaved can be. They are just beyond hope. They're beyond reaching. They are out there somewhere, and they are antagonistic toward you, and they are just, you can't understand why God put them in your life, and you find it difficult to bring yourself to pray for them. When you think of them, you think of things to do to them, not how to pray for them. But listen, God made that person. And God Himself in Jesus Christ died for that person. Wouldn't you love to know that your prayers are answered one day and that person comes to Christ? Wouldn't you love to be the person God uses to lead them to faith in Christ? And wouldn't you love to be able to stand before God and instead of hearing Him say, "Why'd you give up on them?" hear Him say, "Well done. You prayed for them. It was their decision, but you were faithful. Good for you." Relationships. And every person God puts in our lives is a stewardship, an opportunity. No one knew this better than the Apostle Paul. Of all the people in Scripture other than Jesus Christ that were experts at the stewardship of relationships, it was the Apostle Paul. In all of his letters, we find him interacting with all kinds of people, from the very lost to the very lovely, to the wonderful people in his life, to the difficult people in his life, to the ones he had to tell hard truth to, and the ones he became angry with, to the ones he constantly encouraged and loved on and taught and nurtured their faith. Everybody in between falls into his letters. He is a master of relationship stewardship. So this morning, we want to go into a text written by the Apostle Paul as he is nurturing relationships and learn what we can about biblical relationships, biblical stewardship of relationships, and what that looks like. So if you have your Bible, find Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 1, and hold your place at verse 3. Philippians 1, 3. As he writes this, the apostle is under house arrest. Keep that in mind. He is in prison in Rome, that is, under house arrest. And even so, he reaches out and he writes to the Philippian believers. They were a favorite church of his. So the letter is upbeat, it is positive, it is encouraging, and it teaches us a great deal about nurturing biblical relationships. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I'm going to teach you a new word this morning. Smooshing. Smooshing. Pixar Studios started back in the 90s as animators of major motion pictures, an innovative task and method that they had to produce. Of course, their first major motion picture was Toy Story, and now all of that is legend. Steve Jobs of Apple oversaw the creation of Pixar and had a lot to do in how Pixar developed. And one of the things early on as Pixar grew, especially after Toy Story came out, one of the things that they had to do was find their own space for animation and for offices and to be a corporation. And conventional wisdom said, let's build an office building, just one or two levels, and everybody will be in their offices, and we'll have an animation studio on one end of it and a conference room on another and a cafeteria in another building, and everyone can eat lunch together over there. And the officials and Steve Jobs sat down, they looked at that, and they said, let's not do that. Instead, what they did is they bought an old Del Monte canning warehouse, and they gutted it. In the middle of the warehouse, there was an atrium. There was an enclosed area. And they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put the cafeteria, the restrooms, the drink machines, the coffee dispensers, the conference room, the meeting rooms. We're going to put all of that stuff right together in the middle. None of this out there, over there, over there, over there. Everything in the middle, because we want people to run into each other. We want people to mingle and to meet. We want people to see each other every day, often on eye to eye. Well, at first, all the new employees of Pixar complained because they had to walk all the way across the building to the restroom or to get coffee or to have a meeting or to get lunch. They had to walk all the way across this big facility. But then they started liking it because all the people that they met, they didn't even know they worked with. And they started bumping into each other, started seeing each other, and it became such a wonderful teamwork, workspace environment that an official at Pixar termed it smooshing. When everybody bumps into each other and sees each other and looks forward to going to the middle of the space where they can be around one another, they call it smooshing. Don't get too used to it. We're not going to use it. Pixar has its own motto. It has its own motto that's on a big sign in the building. Now you would think Pixar's motto would be something like design great graphics, or make movies for the world, or innovation is our name. You know what their motto is? Pixar's motto is no longer alone. You get it? Because none of their people can be by themselves all day. None of their people can ever think they work alone or live alone or think alone or purpose alone or produce alone. No longer alone. You're not by yourself. We're together in this. Shouldn't that be the church? Shouldn't that be the church? Shouldn't the church, the body of Christ, the people of God, the family of God, the sheep of God, be people constantly together, running into each other, supporting each other, smooshing with one another, who have as their motto, you are never, never alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. We're together in this. It's a great motto for healthy biblical relationships. Our problem is we don't nurture healthy biblical relationships. So even, of all places, in a church family, people can feel like they're alone. That's tragic. That's tragic. So we want to learn from the Apostle Paul this morning. What can we learn about nurturing healthy biblical relationships? About being stewards of the relationships God has given us in the church, in the neighborhood, in the world. And you're going to recognize what we're going to talk about this morning as applying to any and all relationships. God uses these practices strongly in the body of Christ, but you can apply them to any relationships that you have. And you'll see what I mean as we go along. So let's look together at five practices for healthy biblical stewardship of relationships. Components that go along with it. And we see Paul practicing these, so we'll call them practices. Look at this. For example, all healthy biblical relationships have intentional communication. Intentional communication. Sometimes we overlook a very simple truth of the Apostle Paul's life and ministry and the practice of nurturing relationships because it's so obvious we may overlook it. You ready for this? This is really profound. You ready? Paul wrote letters. And this letter he wrote sitting in a prison, a house imprisonment. He wrote this letter. There's no impression at all that he sat back and he waited for the Philippians to write to him, to contact him, to come to him before he reached out to them. There's no moaning and groaning on his part about they didn't care about me. They didn't follow up on me. They didn't send me an email. They didn't send me a telegram. Paul wrote letters. Paul initiated in the relationship. He saw a reason to write and he wrote. He reached out. He communicated. He contacted. Very simply put, a hallmark of all healthy relationships is intentional communication. Funny thing about relationships, they don't do well when you are passive and you're communicating. Ask your wife. If you don't believe me, ask your spouse. Because it's true. Healthy marriages, healthy relationships of all kind have as a groundwork communicating. Now listen, believers in Christ, to be good stewards of that relationship. It's a neighbor, it's a co-worker, it's your spouse, it's your children, it doesn't matter. A hallmark of a biblical healthy stewardship of a relationship is to initiate communication. How many times have you wondered where somebody was? Ever done that? I wonder where they are. Maybe you went on Facebook and searched for them, couldn't find them. You know what I think? I think God put that thought in your mind. I do. And I think God wants you to pray for them, and I think God wants me to pray for them, and God wants us to reach out to them when God puts them in our minds. And if we can, God wants us to initiate that communication. But at very least, understand healthy relationships don't sit back. They're not passive in communicating. They intentionally communicate. Somebody in that relationship has got to communicate. It may be a difficult time in the relationship. There may be some things that have happened. So you don't want to be the one to initiate. Do you know what the Bible says? That even if you're in worship and God shows you that someone has something against you, you're to leave worship and go to them and take care of that matter before you come and presume to worship the God who made that other person. Intentional communication. A second practice of healthy biblical stewardship of relationships is grateful celebration. Grateful celebration. Did you hear what Paul said? Paul said, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you and all my every prayer. Listen, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, do you think Paul liked everything about the Philippian believers? You think he liked everything about them? I don't know. He doesn't say, but it's kind of hard to believe that anybody likes everything about anybody else. But notice what he did. He expressed gratitude to God for them and named one reason, one specific reason that he was letting them know he had thanked God for them. Think about people in your life. Surely, there's one thing about them you can be grateful for. We tend to harp on negative attributes of people. That's sad. That's one reason relationships break down. But imagine what it would do for your relationships. Imagine what it would do for your marriage, for your relationship as a parent with your children. Imagine what it would do with your relationships with your siblings. If you sat down with God and said, God, show me one thing for which I can be thankful for them, and God will do it. But watch this. Then, like Paul, let them know. You know what? I'm glad. I know we've had a tussle lately. I know things haven't gone well. But I can tell you this. There is one thing about you I have always respected. There's one thing about you I've always appreciated. There's one thing about you and your life that I truly am grateful for. So, well, Bob, does that apply only to difficult relationships? Of course not. The people in your life, the most wonderful people in your life, but when was the last time you said that to them? I just want you to know why I'm thankful for you. I just want you to know, what, every day when I pray, I thank God for you, and here's why. For Paul, it was their participation in the gospel. That may be the same thing, but think about it. There is one thing, and be specific, and let them know. Healthy relationships stay healthy, or at least improve, or at least foster that kind of good biblical stewardship. When we stop harping on the negative, when we stop ignoring the positive, and instead we initiate communication and we intentionally celebrate something in that person's life. Paul does something else. Watch this. A third practice is purposeful participation. For healthy stewardship of a relationship, let's just break it down. Very simply put, find one thing that you do together, one purpose you share in life, do it together and watch the health of that relationship grow. Now, for believers in Christ, the core of that purpose is the gospel. And that's why Paul celebrates that. Their partnership in the gospel, from the first day that they came to Christ to the day that he was sitting in prison writing this, their partnership was their purpose. And for all other differences they may have, whatever else there might have been on the fringe, Paul said, you know, I can celebrate. We share this one purpose, and you are participating actively with me in this purpose. Purposeful participation. Find that which you can do together. Now, as a church, as believers in Christ, this is what we rally around. This is our atrium. This is the place we meet. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get upset with someone in church, when you find that you're rankled by them, you bristle at something they say, they may have hurt your feelings. Remember, you are here together on this planet now for this one purpose, to partner together in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy and harmful to find and harp on those differences. It is glorious and purposeful and cleansing and healthy to say we have one thing in common. It's Jesus Christ and the gospel. And no small matter will ever separate me from my brothers and sisters in Christ when we are sharing the gospel with the world. Healthy biblical relationships. Stewardship of that relationship is to focus on that purpose you can participate together. And you want to grow in relationships? You want to really grow in those relationships? Sign up. Get involved. Go on mission. Show up. So many times, folks, so many times I hear people say, you know, I just don't feel like I'm connected to the church. Now, thankfully, God has given us a very friendly and warm and loving environment. So it's a rare occasion, but it does happen. I might get a phone call or meet someone that feels like they didn't really connect here. But I always have a question with that. And I'm not excusing that we need to reach out to folks. We need to love on folks. We need to connect with folks. But here's my question. What did you do to connect? Did you participate? Did you come alongside folks? Did you sign up? Did you get on board? Did you share the purpose? Or did you see the purpose as making you happy? Because that's not going to happen. The purpose is to participate together as partners in the gospel. and you want to see relationships grow, get a bunch of people together doing what Jesus wants them to do, and they will bond, and they will grow, and they will love one another. There's a fourth practice. Paul does it here. Verse 9, Paul says, "And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ." Prayerful expectation. Prayerful expectation. You know, typically when we pray for one another, or when we tell a family member or a friend we don't go to church with, but we tell them, "I'm going to be praying for you," it's because they've just shared a problem, or there's a crisis in their life, or there's a need in their life, and that's a good time to pray for people, and we should pray for people. But notice in this passage, Paul doesn't mention any kind of problem. No sickness, no illness, no financial collapse, nothing like that. What's he doing? He wants them to know, not only does he pray for them, he prays in expectation for the great things God is going to do in their lives. You know what he's saying? Very simply put, he's saying, "I believe in you and your relationship with God. I believe that God is going to do something in your life. And while I'm praying for these difficult circumstances, I am praying for your future with God as well. I'm praying with expectation that God is going to show up, that God has great things in store for you, and I want you to know it." Maybe we ought to pray that way more often. Maybe we ought to let people know, "I want to pray for you because I see something going on in your life that's great. I see God changing you. I see God working in you. And I see a great future. If you'll stay with God, if you'll follow Him, I have expectation. And I'm praying for you and what God has in store for you." When I was a teenager, one Saturday, I was at home in Winston-Salem. And I don't know what I was doing. I was probably making a sandwich or something. Actually, probably eating Cheerios, since that's more likely. But phone rang. And the voice on the other end was a woman that I had only met a couple of times. She was the mother of a friend of mine who lived in another city. And I had only met her a couple of times, but that family had been instrumental in my relationship with the Lord as a teenager. And this Saturday, she calls me and she says, "Bob, I've been praying for you. And I just want to tell you something." I said, "Okay." She said, "I want you to know that I believe with all my heart God has a plan for your life." She said, "I don't know what it is." And you could hear, actually, she sounded kind of excited on the phone, that God's got something He's going to do in your life, and I think it's going to be great. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you, and I'm excited for you. And then she paused and she said, "Can I pray for you right now?" And I'm a teenager, and I'm standing in my kitchen, and I've got food in one hand, the phone in the other. And I said, "Sure." And she prayed a beautiful prayer, that God would bless my future and He would guide me and He would lead me and He would do what He wanted to do in my life. And you could tell all along her tone was just so excited. And she hung up. After she prayed, said amen, we said goodbye and she hung up. Now listen, I have no idea what that woman's name is to this day. I have no idea. I think I've only seen her two or three times in my whole life. By now, she's probably gone home to be with the Lord. I'm not sure. Never had contact with her again after that. Couldn't tell you right now what she looked like. But I will never forget that phone call. Never. And I remember what she said, and I remember her tone, and I remember that she prayed with expectation for the life of a young man she barely knew, because she was excited for what she had seen God already doing in his life. You want to nurture healthy biblical relationships, pray for people with expectation and let them know that you're doing it. Then one more practice: mutual affirmation. Mutual affirmation. One of the most famous verses Paul ever wrote is this. He said to the Philippians, "I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." I'm sure of this, he said. No matter what you go through, no matter how hard life is, no matter what comes at you from every side, Paul said, I'm sure of this. I have no doubt that God started a great work in you, and he is going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That means until the return of Christ, or you go home to be with Jesus. Once God starts, he's going to finish what he started in you. What was Paul doing? It's a very simple word for it. Encouraging them in Christ. Encouraging them in Christ. Affirming that he knew God was working in their life. Just simply encouraging them in Christ. But I want you to notice how he did it. He did not say, Philippians, you are so great at being Christians. You're such good people that I have no question you're going to be great for God. That's not what he said. He said, basically, I trust God so much. I know God so much, and God is reliable, and God is trustworthy, and I can tell you of this one thing I am sure. He started a good work in you, and he's going to finish it. You don't need to think God is going to abandon you, forsake you, leave you. I can tell you right now, God is trustworthy and reliable. And I'm sure of this. Let me encourage you, he said. I'm sure of this. He's going to finish what he started. He's going to finish what he started in your life and in my life. Because I'm that good? Because I'm that great? Because someone called a long time ago and Pastor Bob was a teenager and reminded him how great he was? No, 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 no. Reminded him how great God was and God is. Why is God going to finish that? That great work you started in you, because God finishes what God starts. We need to encourage each other in the Lord. Encourage people you know in the Lord. Encourage people that have drifted away, that have fallen away, and say, you know, God wants to complete his project in your life. God is trustworthy. God is reliable. God will show up. How desperately we need to encourage one another. You know, one clear benchmark of biblical stewardship of relationships is affirming and encouraging and strengthening each other in the Lord. Not everything is always affirming. Sometimes we've got to say hard truths. We've got to say hard things. But how much people need to be reminded that God hasn't given up on them, that God is still at work in their life. There's a book came out not long ago called The Carrot Principle that studied businesses. And one of the revealing factors of the book was people who stayed long-term at their jobs, 96% of them said they felt affirmation and acceptance at the job. 80% of the people interviewed who left their jobs, 80% said one of the main reasons they left is they never felt encouraged, they never felt affirmed, they never felt accepted. Now, church, I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you came along somebody in the hallway or in the Sunday school class or picked up the phone and said, you know what, I was thinking about you today. And I just want to encourage you. I just want you to know that God has started a work in your life. And if you'll let him, he's going to finish it. Because that's what God does. And I want you to know that I know I'm not always reliable and trustworthy. And not everybody in the church is always reliable and trustworthy. But I want you to know Jesus Christ is reliable and trustworthy. And he's the one that's going to finish his work in you. Relationships. Relationships. We have a stewardship, a glorious opportunity to nurture, to love, to facilitate healthy biblical relationships in our lives. But it starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. It does. It starts with your relationship with Christ. Remember, Paul was writing to believers when he wrote these words. And every practice of the Bible toward our relationships and in our relationships assumes that we're believers in Christ. Now, if you're not a believer in Christ, you can practice some of these things, but understand, you need God's help to do it. And the relationship that matters more, hear me now, that nothing matters more than for you to be in right relationship with God in Christ Jesus. You need His help in your relationships. You need His help in praying and helping and working through. But the relationship you need to be healthiest of all is your relationship with God in Christ. You know, this last verse that I read, you know what that also tells me about the reliability of Jesus, the trustworthiness of God? It also tells us that in our lives, God sees our lives as His stewardship. He's going to finish what He started. But listen, He's got to start it first. Simply put, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, He hasn't started His work in you just yet. Come to Christ. Give your life to Christ. And believer, listen, God is reliable. He's still working in you if you'll let Him. He's still growing you and making you more like Christ if you'll let Him. That's His stewardship. That is His promise. He will never let you go, but He'll always work in your life. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. This morning I'm going to pray for you that if you need Christ, that you would come to Jesus today and just receive Him as your Savior. And I want to pray for you today, if you're a believer in Christ and you need to come back to Him today, you need to come back to that relationship with Jesus. You want that to be the healthy relationship first in your life. I want to pray for you. But I'm also going to pray for those of us that have tough relationships going on in our lives. And we know that God's been speaking to us about some relationships we need to work on. We need to bring biblical sound application and good health and a lot of prayer and open our hearts in those relationships. I want to pray for us too. But keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a moment, because that's the first thing I want to pray about this morning. If that's you this morning, and through this whole message you've been thinking about a relationship, you know you need to pray about it. You know you haven't been a good steward of it, or you need to work on the health of that relationship, I want to pray for you right away this morning. Would you just lift your hand up? God knows what's going on in your life. He knows what you're lifting your hand up about. Good, good. Heavenly Father, you see these hands, God, and you know our relationships. You know, Father, where we have failed you and people in our lives. You know, God, where we have not been active and reaching out and loving and praying for people, God, and encouraging people. And Father, we just want to ask your forgiveness for that this morning. But God, where we have a difficult relationship in our lives, or where it's strained and struggling, God, we pray for your help and healing and applying the Word of God to those relationships. Give us love for people that are difficult, God. Melt away the bitterness of our hearts, Father. Give us a heart of forgiveness. Help us to reach out to them. God, I pray for us as a church family, Father, that we would love one another. We would grow in our relationships in Christ. We would bring peace and love and kindness, patience to our relationships, Father, and you would help us do that. And God, for all those relationships, whether we raised our hands or not, God, we lift those up to you. We lift those people up to you, God. We lift our stewardship of our relationships up to you, Father, and pray you'd be at work in them now. But God, for ourselves, God, I pray, Father, you would bring us back to you. And God, we have let you down. And some of us, Father, need to come to the altar and confess that we've let you down in our relationship with you. Some of us, Father, need to come to Christ and start that relationship for the very first time so you can start that work in us. So this morning, I want to pray, God, for that one who needs to come to Christ today, that they would be the first to come. I want to pray for that believer who needs to come and yield up their relationships, yield up their own heart, God, yield up their stewardship in their lives to you. I pray they'd come today to the altar. They would come and pray. I pray for those, Father, who need to make a decision this morning to stretch out in faith and join fellowship with this church, to stretch out in faith and reach out to someone they know, God, you want them to reach out to. God, whatever's on our hearts today, Father, God, how I pray you would use this time of decision, this time of response, Father, to have your will in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.